Wisconsin legacy.
You may proceed.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I think you picked up in this just now, but there's a bit of a disaster here. We don't have a projector, so we're going to do this in the laptop, and we don't have any internet access, so the links are produced that aren't going to be particularly useful, and I'm not sure how spectacular Ajax is going to be with any internet connection. So, while it doesn't mention it in any of the slides, it is kind of essential to the whole Ajax experience. But nevertheless, let me attempt to dwell on these slides for a while. Okay, start off, okay, Ajax, for those of you who don't know what it stands for, it's asynchronous JavaScript and XML, which is not a very good acronym, to be honest, as we're going to see. I'm Warren Sweeney, that's me, web developer. No.
PHP.
What have we done with PHP?
Anyone know how you watch these laptop things?
Spacebar.
That spacebar. Excellent. No.
P.
Spacebar. What the machine?
There's a link at the bottom. If you mouse over the bottom right, I think. Use the other buttons. The ones above. Above. Up. Up.
The red
buttons.
It's changed page. I'm not quite sure what button I hit at that time, but it has changed page.
The red one.
Okay, what I was going to cover, and I'll still attempt to, is the history. When was Ajax discovered? It wasn't invented as such. It just, we'll find out in a minute. Why is it generating so much interest? I'm sure you'll all agree that it's a buzzword we hear a lot just now. I'm not sure that we'd all have an idea of what it is, and if we do, I'm sure we don't all have the same idea of what it is. It's a fairly confusing technology. What does Ajax look like? Well, we're not going to see that. You're linked to Google Maps and things like that. I think we have all seen Google Maps. Yeah, but that gives you a good idea of what Ajax is doing. Where we had maps before, but we had maps with buttons to go up and down and go to the side. Whereas, as you all know, with Google Maps, you can just click on it, you can drag the map along, to get to the side. You can zoom in on it, you can zoom out. It's got the nice like satellite photos if you happen to live in one of the right places, which I have many, but it's got the satellite photos, all that. So that's a good example of Ajax that I'm sure we've all used. Another one is Gmail, where you'll notice that if you have a Gmail account, it's very different from traditional internet sites, in that when you click on the links, it doesn't refresh the page. The page, the page stays where it is. Your new content comes up, so it looks very much like a desktop application, which is what a lot of people are aiming it at just now. But I feel that's because that's just what people know. They're used to desktop applications. I heard something lately where someone talking about with each new kind of form of media that people discover, what they do at first is begin implementing previous forms of media on it. So one example the guy gave was when the radio was invented, they began putting on plays because that kind of mapped nicely to the theatre. That was something they knew. But of course, as time went on, people found more and more uses for the radio and football matches, like whatever else they do. But people find more and more uses, and it kind of developed into its own medium, and this kind of goes up all the time. So I feel just now that people are making Ajax like desktop applications because that's what they know. But it's much more than a desktop application because it's connected to the internet, and that gives you a huge load of data out there to get to. That isn't necessarily easy in Ajax, but we'll come to that later. But still, this seems to be what's happening. Okay, what actually is Ajax? I just attempted to tell you there, but we'll go into what technologies come together to make up Ajax, and what libraries can I use to help me in the Ajax applications. There's a lot of things with web browsers where they don't all behave the same, so you have to go slightly differently to IE. So, even to get the most basic Ajax bits, you have to ask IE completely differently for them. You'd ask Firefox for them. You'd ask Safari, they're slightly the same. But as you can get libraries like Prototype is a very easy to use one, where you just get an Ajax call, and you can forget about what browser whoever's looking at your site's using. It deals with that, and we'll see a bit kind of how it does that. Okay, now I'm going to attempt to change pages again.
Left red. Well,
what was it?
Left red. The one at
the excellent. Okay, the Ajax history. Ajax can be traced back to the 18th of February 2005. It's that simple. But the reason that is, now if I were to click on that link, thing that says with no internet connection, but we would get we should get the page up that it was first mentioned on. And what Jesse James Garrett did at the time was he was looking for a buzzword to describe some technologies he was using for the client site. So he wanted to go to this client, instead of coming out with big gobbledygook words, he got, one nice sharp one. He posted it in his article on the web, and like all good buzzwords, suddenly everyone was using it. Didn't matter if you knew what it was or not, you were using it, All software was marked it, but it's been Ajax compliant, even stuff that wasn't connected to the net. Like this. This is not Ajax. So that is when Ajax was discovered as such, but the technologies it uses were all about beforehand. Left, you said?
Yeah, left, right, one left.
Okay, why all the interest? I just picked this quote because it seemed to me, to sum it up, once a new technology starts rolling, if you're not part of the steamroller, you're part of the road. And this, I think a lot of what Ajax is doing is people just don't want to miss the boat. They're hearing this all the time, and what is a website nowadays if it's not Ajax enabled? So, but obviously it's as good as it ever was, That's not the perception. The people want their sites now to be Ajax compliant, because of course that means they're web 2.0 compliant, and we all know how important that is. So of course another area of interest is because traditional web pages were quite annoying, and they flickered all the time. Every time you pushed a button it flickered, the whole page changed to you. So people are comfortable with the desktop metaphor, and developers want to keep people comfortable with their web pages, so Ajax fills a niche there. Next page. Okay, what does Ajax look like? Well, you're just going to have to guess. Let's say Google Maps there, Gmail, which I mentioned earlier, and Zimbra, which I don't know if many of you have used. It's, most people swear who have used it, but one day it's really nice, but it's Ajax email client. It's much more bells and whistles than Gmail, and you know, it seems to have all the you know, a lot of the problems of having all those bells and whistles, you know. The people I've spoken to have set it up. I think, did you ever go with it, Kyle? Certainly not. Billy had a lot of goes with it, and they all seem doomed to failure, you know.
Ask
his
Kyle,
No, this was Billy.
I tried the demo.
Although goodness knows what Billy denied with it, you know. Let's not go there. So, that's what Ajax was like. So, what is Ajax? As I said earlier, it's asynchronous JavaScript and XML. So it's asynchronous, except when it isn't. Like when you pass the false flag, asynchronous false flag, then you get synchronous. Actually, I should maybe explain that a little bit. Asynchronous means it uses non-blocking I/O. Okay, that was a joke. But it wasn't, it does. But no, what it means is when you're doing something in the page, you can still work on your page. You know, it goes off and it does it in the background. It's not, you know, traditionally, you know, everything would kind of just stop until you'd got your page back, whatever you'd send off for. With Ajax, it doesn't. It kind of forks off in the back of the end, goes, gets its stuff, and when it's got it, it does whatever you've asked it to do. You pass in an event handler at the end, and it does what you do. So it's asynchronous sometimes. Uses JavaScript, possibly. It can also use VBScript and Tickle, I'd imagine. It can also use... you know, in real life, it's just about always JavaScript. Still, it's not totally tied to. And I've no arguments with that. The and seems okay. And XML, perhaps. I know. I just about nothing I do in Ajax, I get XML back. XML is a real pain to work with. If any of you have done it, you know, there are plenty of other ways to get data back than your Ajax applications, and they're generally much easier to do something with than XML. Again, I've got a few examples later on, so I'll come to them again later. Okay, this is it. The main thing that about Ajax, what's the kind of killer in it, is this thing, the XML, HTTP request. That started actually with, it was a friend at Microsoft that started this about, it was 98 I think, so it's been about for quite a while. At that time, it was a Java applet that was embedded in IE that allowed JavaScript to speak to the applet, and a Java applet's got, it can go over the net, you know, which JavaScript traditionally couldn't do. So suddenly there was a way. Microsoft used it in things like Outlook, to, you know, kind of to almost do a kind of Gmail type, you know, the pages, you know, coming in little chunks. This what I've copied here is the Ajax function from the prototype library. I noticed, see, they call it Ajax, so even although this is just getting the XHR thing back, they call it Ajax, so it's the perception there. But what it does is, you see, it attempts to get a new ActiveX object of MSXML2 dot XHQ. Keep quiet, please.
Hang on a sec. Last night you said I was to come there, distract everyone, and waste some time.
Zero away.
Zero away.
And you did a good job of it.
Perfect, Willie. All the plan.
And thanks for the loan of that USB stick last night. It's come in very handy. Anyway, as I was saying, what goes there is it goes out, it looks like an active object. If it doesn't get it, it goes looking for another active X object, you know, because obviously my kid is weren't going to stop it just having one active X object or one active X HTTP request object, or just one active X object would be a bit fun. And finally, it goes, if it still not get anything there, it goes for an XML HTTP request, which is more traditional. That's what you get in Firefox, Mozilla, Safari, Opera, and I believe that IE7 has actually introduced not an ActiveX object, but a kind of native XML HTTP request, XHR I think we'll call that from now on. So this is the bit, if this isn't totally Ajax, it's the bit that made Ajax possible and the bit that got people thinking about it, or got one particular person thinking about it and inventing the name. Okay, another part of it is DOM. It doesn't come up in the acronym anywhere, but the DOM is, for those of you that don't know, when you load up a web document in a browser, it puts it into a data structure, which calls document, you know, and then this is the document object model, and off the document you'll have like a head and a body, and when you go into them, it's all done as a tree, you know, so you kind of get one a document at the top, then you may have a head, a body, then if you open up the body, you know, you've got inside, you know, maybe an H1, blah, 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 you build up the whole thing. So with the DOM, what you can do is you can get hold of any node you want in the DOM, you can style it in whatever way you want, you can make it disappear, you can change it, you can change the text in it, you can add a new node after it, but you can delete it, you know, there's all sorts of things. So this is not very easy to see, unfortunately, but these are just the kind of calls you get, like cv equals document dot create element input, creates an input thing, cv dot type equals checkbox, so it's a checkbox. CV dot unclick is delete mini div. That's giving it an event handler to deal with and click. Var c equals document create text node, click to show. Fairly obvious. So then you've d dot append child t, so you've got the d was a div obviously that I got up made up a bit. So you append these things to append child, append child, append child, that's the new things you've just made. D.style.backgroundColor equals hash DDD. D.style.border equals 1px solid, the hash 444, anyone familiar with CSS only recognise this kind of thing. D.card equals this.parent node, so you can get the node that gets up and, you know, one, in other words, you've got very, very fine control of the DOM, and you use JavaScript or whatever other scripting language your browser supports to deal with that. So this is how you do a lot of the dynamic stuff too. You know, you can change your whole document programmatically depending on events that are happening, you know, mouse clicks, Ajax calls coming in, you know, you just do what you want. JavaScript is the glue that holds all these bits together, it sends off for the data, it gets it back, it, you know, puts a new div in, fills it with text. And an example again with we're stuck with a link here, so I had an example there of, you know, manipulating a document, pushing buttons to create new text fields and things, you know, the kind of thing you need but you don't know how many inputs you want for something, so you get a button to just add more, you know, take them away. that kind of thing, but unfortunately we can't see the example. It's very messy. But that was intentional because I'd put it without any CSS on it, so that when we got to the next slide, CSS, making it all look pretty, then I would click it and you would all be absolutely dumbfounded by how I'd managed to style that complete mess with CSS. But
I bet that looks amazing.
Honestly. Just be dumbfounded.
I am.
So I'm just dumb. Okay, so with the CSS you can do dumbfounding things. Right, the XML part of the acronym, as I say, it doesn't have to be XML, and I seldom use it. Another very simple way of doing something is to return an HTML fragment, and all you do is say, you'd usually set up a div beforehand, a completely empty div, give it an ID, and then when you get your HTML back from your call, div dot inner HTML is equal to, and it just throws HTML in there, you know, it can be anything. Well, one slight snag about using inner HTML is, you can, you know, put, say, a whole web form or something in there, or, you know, a table, whatever, but if you put it in as inner HTML, it is just one node in the DOM, an inner HTML node. It's not, you know, you can't kind of fine burrow into that. Alternatively, you can send back JSON, which is JavaScript object notation, where you just send back basically an object in JavaScript, and then you deal with that in whatever way you want to. So that can be fairly useful, and you can also send back JavaScript as a script, and you can ask your library, a prototype's very good at this, you can ask it just to, when it gets a script back, run it as soon as it gets it, so that way you can build up DOM nodes and add them, so you know, you're getting much more, it's a better system than the inner HTML system, you know, and it's still part of the DOM. The library's prototype is one I like. It's very basic, but it does a good job of making a lot of things fairly simple and stopping you having to think of a lot of cross browser stuff and things like that. You know, that's one that I use a lot. Dojo, I don't use much, but it's very full-featured, it's got loads of widgets and effects and whatever. It's also got a nice system where, this would add up to a massive JavaScript page if you were to send the whole of Dojo to someone's browser, but you can tell it what effects you're using, and that kind of compiles you a JavaScript that only uses what it needs to, and it can even compress that a bit if you understand what, you know, by compressing JavaScript I don't mean like you zip it up, it just means you shorten the variable names, take out the white space, you know, that can, but it's less bytes to come over the line, so it does a lot of that for you. Sajax is a similar kind of thing, you know, again, big, fairly thorough set of widgets, but there's a lot more out there, and I think you've just got to look at what you want for what you're doing, you know, they've all got their strengths and weaknesses, I suppose. Okay, limitations in the Ajax, the main one was, for quite a while, the back button. The thing is, you know, you're doing all these things in your Ajax page and it's looking off and getting things, and you know, and changing your page for you. And then after a while you hit the back button, but it takes you back to the page you were at before you went to the Ajax page, even although you've, you know, clicked 30 links in between, you know, to do things to the page. You're back. So the back button was broken. At the moment there's a lot of people, I was going to say a lot of work going into that. There's a lot of hacks being devised to kind of fix the back button. And, you know, a few of the say like Dojo and Sajax have things built in that will do that. There's also something fairly newish, or it is to me anyway, called the Really Simple History Framework, which is small, and it claims to deal with all these kind of issues, and it will it keeps its own kind of history, and when you press the back button it deals with it. So in effect, you know, it's a hack, but hey, if you can't see it's a hack, it's not a hack anymore, I suppose, you know. So they seem to be fixing the back button just now. Another thing is site of origin policy. Now, I mean, when you hear what I've said up till now, and if you don't know about this site of origin limit or limitation, you kind of immediately begin thinking, well, just think, like, I could, you know, get an RSS feed off the BBC News and this, and, you know, you pick your 30 favourite sites and do what they're calling now a mashup, you know, where you just kind of mash all the sites into one. Unfortunately, with Ajax as it is, that can't be done, because when you've got an Ajax application, it will only go and collect content off the server that it's situated on. So, you know, you can't have an application in my server that can go out and connect via HTTP, what was I going to call it again, XHR, that can connect to that and get the stuff back. You know, it can connect to anything that isn't your site, basically. So what you have to do is you set up a cross domain proxy. That is, you set up another page on your own site, and what it'll do is it'll go out, collect the page that you want to look at, scrape it itself, you know, or do, you know, format it in whatever way it wants it, and then deliver it to your page. So you kind of aren't getting the page you want, but you're getting it via a script on your server. That's a, you know, it's not a disastrous limitation, and it even makes you wonder why they bother in the first place. But I think for you know, security, I think it's always going to stay that way. I certainly know the Flash has had that kind of thing for quite a while, where you know, it's again the same site of origin policy, where you can't Java, exactly, yeah. So you know, so this is, but there's obviously security concerns out there, but it makes you wonder when it's so easy that you just go and get the page yourself. But who knows, that's the way things work just now. So that's a couple of the limitations, but the limitations are being dealt with just now in whatever ways, and Ajax doesn't seem to be getting any less popular for them. So things are good. Okay, the conclusions, it says here, I don't know if you can all see it, it says, we must all be thirsty by now. Let's remedy that. I don't even know what I'm thinking of it. And that page is blank because it's finished. That's conclusions I often do. So, thanks for putting up with me. Sorry, it was a bit less exciting than it could have been. And thanks for not heckling me.
Sorry.
You said you would. So thank you. Any questions?
Well, if what's the difference between Ajax's perceived value as opposed to its real value?
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Right now, everybody sees a page, and just even with the acronym itself, like, you've got, like, Ajax, and it could be, like, manipulating HTML or XML, or using JavaScript, or you can use Visual Basic or something, you can use anything. It should be, like, asynchronous model manipulation. So it's just anything. So, but everyone just lumps it all together. If you've got flashy stuff, it looks kind of Ajax-y. And if it grabs links, it looks kind of Ajax-y. But, like, that's Ajax just now. That's the perceived value, and you don't buy into that. So what is the real value? Why should we use Ajax in the future?
Oh, don't if you don't want it. I'm not a salesman.
I just presume that you use it because you see some value in future of using it, and you would want other people to use it in future because you think that this is a good technology. In essence, it offers something.
Yeah.
What does it offer?
A buzzword in your CV. People pay you more because you can do Ajax. It is a buzzword, but it's a useful technology. Look at Google Maps. Do you know that? There's someone using it fairly well. I mean, that you surely can see the value in Google Maps as compared to the old style maps where you click to the side. So it is just the interaction it affords you with the website without the kind of just distracting page refresh constantly.
There's a statistic kicking about saying that if you're on an e-commerce site, 4 seconds is the maximum time people wait before they start to pissed off and go elsewhere.
Yeah, there's always been that kind of thing, but you know, when you think back to dial-up days, you always had how long can you afford to let your web page load? The figure was 2 seconds, I think, that they called them, but maybe e-commerce sites, you know, they're gripping, so they can hold you a bit longer.
But it's like, imagine you're putting in your shopping basket and the whole page reload and you have to sit with it.
See that.
You get
an icon coming up, you know, and just slowly twiddling, and it just makes you feel it's more like something you know.
So, what are some of the uses that you've found for? Like, why have you used it?
Giving talks. Thing. I mean, one of the things that I do just now is I work in the SMS business, and I'm writing a system just now that can set up, you know, the kind of things you see. I'm texting, you know, A, B, or C to XXXXX. No, they codes begin with 8, 9, not XX. I certainly do, yeah. I've had previous experience of writing apps for 8, 9 numbers. But one of the things is that they can actually see. It's aimed a lot at radio stations, you know. I'm putting polls out, and when the texts are coming in, they can just sit there with the text in their, with their page open, and they can see as texts are hitting the system, you know, as it kind of, the graph's going up, you know, like 89% against 11% of the thing, you know. So, you know, it kind of goes off to the database every few seconds. The 15 seconds or something gets back a UL, what's it called, unordered list, you know, just small unordered list back, and I use CSS on the client side to make that look like graphs.
So it frees up networked applications from being just static as they've always been with hypertext.
Yeah, and also, you know, you're not having to load the page headers and all that every time. You know, you're just getting a snippet that you're interested in putting into whatever div you've created for your content. I would have shown you that had a net connection and texted in, even wasted 50 pence of my own money, you know, just to get off this bloody question. Anyone got a question?
using the server, say you're putting their stats with them on the server, is there a way to push that out to an Ajax page, or do you have to some of the page that's constantly polling for it?
You have to have something that's, you don't have to, but by Ajax, you have something constantly polling. There's a comment, is the acronym you're looking for. There's a new thing out there here, comment. You're look it up in Wikipedia today. And this is the
bottom
of the garden. I don't know, but it's doing what you're suggesting. Is it's like the server, but the thing is, HTTP is stateless, you know, so any of that kind of thing is a hack, and basically what happens is the client does connect to the server, and they do keep a connection open, you know, just a connection doing nothing, and then the server can eventually push some data down, but it's not pushing as such, you know, it's...
So at its simplest, you just have something in your Ajax page on the client, you just sit and pull...
Yes, I mean, the Pinototype, it's got... a great thing called Ajax dot periodic updater,
right.
and you call this periodic updater with give it a div name that you've created on your page, and this is where the content's going to come. You give it a URL of where to go and get some content, and then you could pass in a hash with a couple of parameters, you know, like one of them would be the delay, you know, like you know, how long you wait between polls, and it just sit, you know, that's it, it's a one-liner, and it just sits there, goes off every X amount of seconds that you've set it for, and just whatever content it gets back, it puts into this div. So that's what I've used in the system I was talking about a minute or two ago. You know, so
if there's nothing there, or even the data hasn't changed, there's nothing for it to do, if you sit there quite happily.
It just sends the unchanged data back.
It doesn't need to actually change the page, as opposed to if you're using meta refresh or flash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You'll still be sending that dev's content every time. You'll not be freeing up the bandwidth completely.
Instead of flat.
You're not freeing up the bandwidth, you know, you're always but you're, because you're only it's only a fragment you're updating, you know.
You will still be sending that fragment.
Yes, you will, and you're sending it quite often.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's you know,
so you
know, end up
sending it.
It ends up with more data, yeah, you know, and end up
exactly.
But you know, it's got added value. That's what you got.
Is it likely to make life easier in terms of server load? If you've got a page that is refreshing every 15 seconds, you know, if you're polling, if the poller called every 15 seconds, would server load be less?
If your query's cached, you know, it should be quite light, and, you know, and since it's going every 15 seconds, the query's whatever, you know, the query's unlikely to get out of the cache quickly, you know, so... I think it's okay. Obviously, you know, there is going to be a limitation when you get enough connections hitting it often enough.
Yeah.
But that's no different from anything, do you know, from the old web 1.0. You still had the same kind of thing. You know, servers could be overloaded whether you're getting it Ajax or not. So, it's a point. You've got to think about it, but. You had to think about that before, you know, so I don't think it's changed an awful lot.
I'm a believer that we're still going to see, like, most applications running, like, normal desktop applications like Microsoft Office or whatever, Open Office, running on the web at some point. It will happen.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fairly likely.
Do you think that Ajax is a technology to bring that into reality, or do you think that we're just a few steps away from that point at this point in time?
No, I think it'll be Ajax, the may refine it or not, but it's got everything there, you know. There'll be more toolkits built about it because, you know, JavaScript's a pretty weird language and...
I hate it.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you delve deeply into it becomes very obscure all the same. You know, I don't know how much you've looked at it, but it gives this impression of being a C-style or Algol-style Gordon before you. But, you know, the syntax makes it look like part of the C family of languages, but the more you use it, the more you realise it isn't at all. It's more like a Lisp almost than a C-style thing. But it's got all the power there, but it just, you do need liveliness about it to make it a bit easier to deal with. So I think that's what will be happening. We'll be getting, I mean, there's a, you know, Yahoo have got a kind of Ajax framework kind of thing going just now. Mm. Google have got tons of them, you know. I mean, you know, they're Ajaxifying just about everything they do. You know.
Vital.com.
That's
all
Ajax-based.
There's also
Have you seen
UOS.com? Yeah. OS.com. It's an operating system in your browser.
Okay.
Icons, restart menu.
Okay. An operating system in JavaScript. Oh, that sounds like fun. Nearly hammered the performance out of that one.
It's nasty, but it's usable.
It's all these kind of hacks that have got Ajax to where it is just now. Do you know? You know? I mean, there's.
What are the performance issues with Ajax?
It has a browser in it. Well.
Performance issues are, at the moment, I'd say the biggest performance issue is JavaScript interpreters, and the browsers aren't very good just now. Mozilla has done a deal lately, I'm not sure, you know, in the last couple of weeks, I'm not sure how long it'll take to actually, you know, for anything to happen, but they've been given by Macromedia, is it? Who does Flash nowadays? They're given their ActionScript interpreter. ActionScript is just the ECMA script, the same as JavaScript. So this thing's supposed to fly. So I don't know how quickly they're going to get it into Mozilla, but just now I'm finding, if you're doing a lot in JavaScript, you need a fairly beefy machine. The client side, obviously, doesn't matter, the server side. You need a fairly beefy machine, otherwise you do notice other things beginning to slow down a bit. So that's, you know, that's one issue that is, you know, that will be dealt with, if not by Mozilla getting this new JavaScript interpreter in, but it'll get dealt with by Moore's Law, if nothing else, you know. I mean, another year and a half, the CPU speeds will have doubled, RAM will be you just chuck the resources at anything, you know. If it doesn't work, chuck the resources at it. It never fails.
Well, that's just messed up.
What do you see in Ajax that's not there at the moment?
God, I don't know. That depends what I'm doing at work at any one time, you know.
Blind buttons.
Just, yeah, I'd like a bit more of a UI. To, you know, like, you know, a kind of GNOME type thing almost, you know, like, you know, but an easy to use widget set. I don't suppose there's it, but, an IDE would help as well, but you nearly need the widgets before the IDE, I suppose. But these things are coming along, you know, it's just there's so many. At the moment, I suppose they will all kind of boil down to two or three that just get chosen by the people, you know, the quality of, you know, cream and eyes at the top and all that kind of thing. So, but that's it, more widgets, I think, and make it a bit more like developing a desktop application. And I'd say that's a bit, and a faster JavaScript interpreter, you know, and anything that makes my job easy, but not too easy that someone else can take it.
Lone wolf.
I don't think it's ever going to get that easy. Oh, edit that.
Sending it that well.
Well, I think that's enough for tonight, because this thirst is not getting any better. So, thanks very much. Thank you, Mr. Ben, for the...
Yeah. Okay, what's that coming up?
You going to stick another link, please?
Yes, I will.
Okay, the next meeting is on December 21st. And we are planning on the annual Big Kev Memorial Christmas Gotlow Quiz.
Can we get to pull that in before?
And just before you think that you have something better to do, like spend time with your family or eat stuff, think we are actually going to have prizes. We have gone and sold our souls for the corporate gold, and we have managed to convince Nobel. We currently have a bidding war between IBM, HP, and Dell. Because they're all pointing at me and saying, what did HP get, say you're going to give you? Like, video iPods, PSPs. And like, give me a couple days, I'll come back to you. Kind of fine, boys. So, no, we probably won't have video iPods or PSPs, but we will have t-shirts and hats and probably a couple boxes of SUSE Linux and all that wonderful stuff. So, if Alex stops taping me. Anyways, so basically, next month, and to be honest, this is basically for every geek, it's his dream come true, because when you sit in the pub and they're asking questions about sports, you're thinking, I'd really prefer like to have an LPI exam right now. Or, you know, when you're answering those quiz questions, it's like, why can't they just ask me about what my favorite man page is? okay, this is the quiz for you guys, so, come next month, and we'll see what happens. Okay. Battle to the finish.
Yeah.
Extreme Geek Challenge.
We did give away a PlayStation before, and I seem to remember.
No, you had an Xbox. Xbox.
An Xbox.
Xbox.
Hey,
never came back.
Of course,
yeah. Yeah, pickle won an Xbox.
That was my team, get out.